Kenapa Sukan Bina Badan ni tak terima sokongan daripada kerajaan as much as others? Badan kita ni pelaburan. So, badan kita cantik, people see, people akan hormat. The reason to healthy. Nombor satu saya nak hilangkan berat badan adalah sebab saya nak cari girlfriend. Memang Cina mutak kan. So, that's how that sort of Cina mutak name came lah. Kan jalan. Every day, 7 kilometers, I walk to school. You go on stage with a little small piece of cloth. Saya sudah champion. Saya sudah menang. I'm always number one. I tak pernah kalah. Saya nak
mana lagi mudah, competitive bodybuilding atau nak jadi content creator? Hari ini, guest saya akan menceritakan pengalaman dia dari segi bertanding sebagai atlet dan juga sebagai content creator. Tapi sebelum tu, saya dalam misi untuk mengurangkan 1% obesity di Malaysia dan saya pasti anda juga boleh membantu saya dengan like dan follow saya. Dan jangan lupa untuk kongsikan dengan kawan-kawan anda. Welcome to our season 2, episode 25. And hari ini, guest saya akan menceritakan pengalaman beliau sebagai competitive athlete dan juga content creator. So, who is our guest for today? Dia lebih dikenali sebagai Cina Murtad atau
Coach JC.
Coach JC. Okay, Coach JC, boleh tak memperkenalkan diri anda dan perjalanan hidup sebelum menjadi ahli bina badan?
Boleh. So, pertama sekali, Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Nama saya Coach Jason atau kena Jason Chua. Adrian Nutrition Pro dan saya sudah mencuburi bina badan ni sebanyak 10 tahun sudah, hampir 10 tahun. Dan kalau kira training, 12 tahun sudah bina badan lah. Dan saya mulai pada umur 16. Dan detik-detik hidup sebelum umur 16 tu ialah saya ni budak yang gemuk dan senang dibuli lah di sekolah lah.
Faham saya.
Buli di segi bukan dipukul tapi dimaki. Gemuk, gundu, fecai dan macam-macam lagi. Segala adjektif, segala bahasa, satu Malaysia dah kena. So, daripada sana tu, I pun terfikirlah, jujur cakap, the reason to healthy number satu saya nak hilangkan berat badan adalah sebab saya nak cari girlfriend. So, I pun kan, tak tahu lagi macam mana nak hilangkan berat badan tu. Right. So, I pun tengok magazine, I pun tengokkan video-video atau movie lah. Movie yang buat saya motivated, and finally started ialah Rocky Balboa. Oh. Ada satu scene. Tentang montaj kan dia lari. Pakai hoodie. Lepas tu pergi punching bag lagi semua tu. Lepas tu saya pun buat sama. Pagi. Pukul 5 pagi.
Wow.
I wake up every morning. This was me at 16. 16. Dan saya siapkan saya makanan diet. Itulah the time very simple. 3 meals a day. Oats. Tuna. Frozen vegetable. Dengan rasa kicap je. Dia kali sehari.
Okay, right. Cocok. Sebelum kita ke area di situ, orang nak tahu macam mana jadi gemuk?
Macam mana jadi gemuk? Okay, very good
thing. Tiba-tiba jadi gemuk ke atau lifestyle juga?
I would say it's this. Now when I go back, I pernah analysekan dia. Saya rasa sebab, you see, my two brothers were not fat. I was the fat kid. Sebab kenapa? Saya ni anak bungsu.
Itulah, orang kata orang bungsu mesti gemuk. Kan?
Okay. Sebab I think so that time, parents punya resources.
Sayang.
Sayang, resources dekat ni ada. Mereka kan better to do. So, kita pun dapat makan. I always eat double portion. Mak selalu katanya, cukup ke? Kedua, saya ni jadi vacuum cleaner rumah. Ya, vacuum cleaner maksudnya semua yang tak habis, saya habiskan semua. Rajin. Mak suka. Tak payah nak buang. So, that's kind of that. And plus, saya ada satu tabiat yang that time, every night saya ada satu cousin. Dia ni ada time, dia akan masakkan sausage, nugget. So, every night before go sleep pun makan lagi satu kali. And that sort of led me to become fat lah. Borderline obese sebenarnya. Actually, 13 years old, saya sudah 8. Umur 13, sudah 83 kilo.
Tinggi masa tu berapa?
I think it was only 160 something. So 165, 167 around there.
Okay.
So for that sort of weight, is considered borderline obese ni lah for me. So yeah, that's how I got fat.
Okay, so that was until 14 years old?
16. Okay. Up to 16.
Adakah, you correct me if I'm wrong, adakah pada 16 tu, you started to realize kena lose weight sebab takut dapat girlfriend sebab kawan-kawan you dah mula ada girlfriend ke atau tiba-tiba
je? Of course, ada kawan yang akan ada. Tapi I think that time is something that you start to think of that topic more in your mind. Selampak kan, ada rasa ada couple-couple sudah kan. So yeah.
Okay, teruskan.
Teruskan. So, going back to the training scene, montage. So, going back every morning, 5 o'clock, prepare my meals. Saya akan pergi jogging ke sekolah ataupun jalan lah. Saya akan pakai Walkman, letak motivational video, ataupun video saya dengar, dan saya akan jalan. Every day 7 kilometers I walk to school. Then bila saya balik, don't worry, my mom fetch me. But in evening, pukul 4 lagi, saya pakai hoodie lagi, keluar another 7 kilometers. Every day 14 kilometers I would walk and jog. And dalam period jangka masa 3 bulan, dapatlah turun sampailah 68 atau 67. Around that amount. But it's quite a lot of it lah, drastic nampaknya. Orang pun semua perasan. And I also submitted my pictures to, at the time, my first accomplishment in the fitness industry, Men's Health Magazine. Saya diterbitkan dalam tu. Yeah.
Great transformation.
Yeah, so that's how I sort of begin my fitness journey.
Okay, so dekat situ apa yang saya faham lah kan, for you to find the motivation is not difficult. Apa saya faham tau, because you cerita daripada okay, I gemuk, selepas tu I kena cari girlfriend, that's why I nak mula ubah. Tapi macam mana nak relatekan dengan adik-adik kat luar sana yang memang tak ada motivation macam tu?
Tak ada motivation lah. I think first thing first ialah dari segi saya punya datang. Okay, one thing I did add into that was, of course, bila kita dimaki, bila kita dipanggilkan all these kind of names, kita punya self-esteem, kita sudut pandangan pada diri sendiri itu agak rendah. So it is normal, insecurity. Semua manusia dalam hidup ni will face some level of insecurity. Okay, so bila kita nampak kekurangan kita, apa yang kita buat tu, kita kena tahulah. Some people just bury it, tanamkan dia dan tak kisah, and live on their life, it's okay. Tapi saya ni, at the time, of course, affected me. Saya nangis. Tapi saya mengaku yang saya ni menangis, tapi ada dua jenis orang dalam dunia. Orang yang menangis dan continue menangis. Right. Ataupun menangis untuk gerak hadapan.
Betul.
So that's what I did. I use that pain. I use that apa yang orang katakan pada saya sebagai satu motivasi untuk berubah, merubahkan diri sendiri lah. So I think really stems from, kalau adik-adik semua ni tak tahu apa lagi, take some time, duduk, berdoa, if you believe in God, pray, believe in God, and ask, apa, what is your why? Kenapa kau nak lose the weight? Sebab I can tell you, for me and Coach Kam, we pun tahu lah, yang kita pun, I have our own story of our fitness journey, and how our bodybuilding, how this fitness has helped us change kita punya confidence level.
Betul.
So, I'm telling you as testimony, saya dengan Coach Kampu, we all percaya kalau kamu just get control. Sebab the first thing you must have is self-control. Bila kamu dapat kontrolkan badan kamu, kontrolkan kau punya outcome, you'll be a lot more confident no matter who you are.
Agree. Totally agree. I nak menyambut sikit eh. So, cerita saya sebiji je macam Jason. Tapi saya nak kurus bukan sebab takut tak ada girlfriend lah. Saya nak kurus sebab memang sebiji lah, kena ejek, kena caci. Saya terjumpa kawan yang fit, yang sewa rumah dengan saya masa umur 19 tahun. Dari situ saya ubah. So, it's still relatable because macam mana boleh 360 macam tu je ubah kan? Because kalau dengar cerita Jason, mula gemuk, tiba-tiba nak jalan 7 kilometer, like how the hell you do that? Kan? So, dia menggunakan, I think, this is what I understand, dia menggunakan kesakitan dia sebagai alat untuk ubah. So instead of rasa sedih atau depressed saja, menggunakan kesakitan tu untuk ubah. Okay, kita dah faham dah dari segi macam mana you daripada berbadan besar jadi kurus kan. Now journey menjadi competitive bodybuilder dan juga content creator.
Interesting. So there's two aspects of this lah. Okay, saya nak cakap daripada aspek bodybuilding dulu. Bodybuilding ni dulu saya start, you all know my weight loss story. Weight loss is one thing. Building muscle is a whole another game. So, bila saya datang kepada Bina Badan ni, saya nampak time tu di YouTube. Kat sana kan, ada je Lazar Angelo, Ulysses Junior. That aesthetic era now, the time when Muscle Mania was still very popular. So, ada Rai sebenarnya tu. Yeah, that era dah akan datang. So, kita nampak lah with them with the beautiful six-pack. Dia orang tak terlalu besar. Kan? So I aspire to look like them. Jeff Side is another one. And saya pun tahu lah, as far as I know, apa yang saya senang buatkan, the routine yang saya lakukan itu jogging tu, dia takkan membinakan otot. So there was a good friend of mine who was a genetic phenom. So I thank God he did not compete in bodybuilding. If not, I would be in trouble. Umur dia 1 year younger than me. His name was Merican. Okay, Merican. At the age of 13, I was a junior, I was a senior. Dia saya senior dia, 14 kan, I was a scout. Right? So they had the induction day where we let the form ones come and choose their uniform body. Lepas tu tiba-tiba ada satu budak yang tinggi dia lebih kurang dua kepala lebih tinggi daripada saya. Saya tengok ni, bro, ini untuk form 1 saja. Lepas tu dia cakap, saya form 1. Then saya tak percaya, keluarkan IC memang 1 year younger. Umur 13, I kid you not, the guy is already very very tall, very developed, sound like a man. So genetic freak. So I put...
He's local ke?
Local. Local. So Indian boy, gifted. Now he's a petroleum engineer. Yeah. So he's also an sumah shot putter. Got placing also as well. So he holds the Perak state record for shot putt. So American gentle giant, walaupun besar sado, scary voice, but actually he's a gentle giant. So I tanya dia lah, bro, can you teach me how to train? Sebab rumah dia berdekatan dengan rumah saya. And he start to bring me to his house and teach me how to lift weights. And dari sana saya tahu certain basic. I develop it on it. And I start working in the gym, and then the gym also pun dia ada teach me how to train, and that sort of how it begin my competitive career. Like, so I start competing since junior years ini. It's been almost close to 8 years of competing.
Okay, so daripada the journey tu yang you mula kerja dekat gym, how long does it takes you untuk menjadi competitive athlete?
I would say within the same day itself, when I start kerja gym tu, I dah masuk junior lah.
I see.
It's not very long because I knew that I wanted to try.
Was it an encouragement ke atau memang you rasa sifat berkobar-kobar yang nak challenge orang?
Berkobar.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to... There was something about going to my first ever bodybuilding competition, especially Mr. Perak. Always people ask, what's your goal in bodybuilding? Yeah. I tell them it's quite simple. I want to become COC Mr. Perak.
Yeah.
Champion of champion. Not that Mr. Malaysia has no value or being an IFBB pro. So, orang cakap, I want to be IFBB pro. I want to... Please, guys. Kalau kampung kamu pun tak boleh menang. For me lah, I understand some people don't go through this route, but for me personally, kalau dekat negeri sendiri pun tak boleh menang, apalah hope kita nak dapat pro card, nak dapat pro card dan compete dengan orang yang kat Olympia. So for me, that is of course the home state. Saya ni seorang yang duduk Perak, luar satu Perak dah 20 tahun lebih dah. So I'm trying to Perakin. I want to get the Mr. Perak title. And that's something that all these years I've been working on. Lah. So that's my first goal. Lah. Then after that, we're going to see where God takes me from that.
Right. Okay, itu dari segi competitive bodybuilding. Content creating.
Okay, so I always started sharing daripada umur, that time when I was 16, I start sharing my photos, how I lose weight, everything. And of course lah, bila kita muda, kita tipu kurus kering, kita post about a bicep curl, mesti orang kecam.
Yalah.
So, who are you? You know, who are you? Do you think you are some superstar? So, orang cakap saya ni poyo. But,
At that time, orang tu siapa?
Usually my peers lah, orang yang umur sama, orang yang pergi sekolah, so kids lah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I understood that and I knew that bila saya post tu, mesti akan ada kecam. But I kind of didn't care lah sebab, for me at the time, my prayer was this, I doa yang kalau Tuhan, kalau saya dapat tukar lah, change the life of one person. Dan segala makian tu saya boleh terima. So I started sharing since then. So I started content creating, to be honest, this is hampir 11 tahun. If you actually go to my Facebook, to my Instagram, to all my social medias, you can scroll back to when I was very skinny. And I was nobody back then. And also, I also thank God lah, daripada AMX juga, saya ni as one of the longest serving athlete kat sana dah 9 tahun saya bersama. That time pun, one thing that also pushed me into the fitness influencer side of things is about saya ni dapat menang tajaan lah, daripada AMX 9 years ago, walaupun saya ni kurus keding, not really, I mean it's fit lah, you know. But, at the time, there was this competition, which is AMX, Journey to be Athlete.
Okay.
And there were so many bodybuilder yang masuk, yang boy, badan berketul, ada title Mr. Perak, Mr. Malaysia, ada masuk, apply. So I decided, but I knew that I couldn't beat them dari segi my physique. Tapi apa yang saya boleh lawan ialah consistency posting. Every day saya post, every day saya technician pro, every day saya berani cakap depan kamera. And that's how I managed to got the sponsorship all those years ago lah. And thank God, it's been hampir satu dekad dah. I'm still with the same company all these years.
Well done.
Yeah. So yeah, that's how I got started on social media lah.
Okay, so macam tadi kita orang sembang tau sebelum the recording. Saya nampak Jason, kalau tak salah, late 2020s atau early 2021 dekat TikTok. Okay, I tak pernah nampak dia dekat Instagram atau Facebook. Tapi kat TikTok yang tiba-tiba meletup, lepas tu dia cakap Melayu. Because usually Chinese either cakap English atau Cantonese lah, kan?
Betul.
But he's the only one yang cakap Melayu. Lepas tu, orang panggil dia Cina Murtad.
Hmm.
Okay, so I nak tahu kenapa orang panggil you Cina Murtad.
Alright, so these days I don't go by the name anymore for obvious reasons.
Right.
To talk about controversy lah, for most part, respect my Malay friends. Tapi Cina Murtad ni sebenarnya diberikan oleh kau. Sebab kenapa? I used to work at a supplement store. Okay, and this friend's name is Fizzy. And dalam supplement store tu, I can deal with a lot of customers. And of course, there are Chinese customers that come in. Tiba-tiba, dia pun terkejut lah. Bila saya cakap bahasa Melayu kepada customer yang berbangsa Cina. Sebab, then dia pun cakap, boleh. Lepas customer tu pergi, dia cakap, kan kampung kan tak cakap ni. I memang tak boleh cakap Cina lah. Dia cakap, kau ni memang Cina Mutat kau ni. So that's how that sort of Cina Mutat name came lah. Sebab my family, kalau nak tahu kenapa, sebab sikit kenapa saya ni fasih dalam bahasa Melayu. Pertama sekali, saya ni not pure Chinese. Saya ni campuran lah. My part Malay, possible. I mean, it is technically speaking, tapi very far. Sebab ni saya ni keturunan Baba Nyonya. Baba Nyonya maksudnya Cina yang datang pada zaman Parai Meswara dan berkahwin dengan orang tempatan yang belum lagi beragama Islam time. So kita pun ada masukkan budaya Melayu dalam kita punya makanan semua. You can actually see it lah kalau korang ada pergi Melaka.
Okay, kita belajar sejarah sekarang.
Yes.
Bukan saja tentang journey, fitness, nak sihat semua, tapi sejarah juga. Okay, so kita dah faham your journey daripada budak gemuk jadi kurus, lepas tu content creator and competitive bodybuilder. And the next thing I nak tanya, keberanian untuk menjadi seorang atlet. Boleh tak kongsi sikit you punya keberanian daripada mana dan pencapaian you?
Okay. So for me, keberanian tu when you go on stage with a little small piece of cloth, like sebanyak ya segan, including tuan maksudnya saya pun segan kalau nak pakai underwear nak pentas kan. So I would say that yang paling penting ialah they go back tak to insecurity.
Right.
Banyak kali kita ni bila kita diletak di sudut pandangan atau pandangan orang ramai, terutamanya di atas pentas. Kita akan rasa kekurangan kita lah. Tapi for me, we always should patutnya be aware of kita punya kekurangan. Okay, kita patut tahu apa kekurangan kita. Tapi kita jangan fokus kat sana. Kita kena fokus kepada apa yang kebaikan kita lah. So everyone got their pros and their cons. Right? So focus pada that one. Sebab kekurangan ni kita, is this what's fun about bodybuilding. Sebab you dapat develop, you dapat baikikan apa yang kurang. Okay, and the whole thing is remember, you're not perfect. You never be perfect. Right? So just work towards the perfection. And always remember, kamu pergi sana, kamu kena cakap, for me, my motto is, saya sudah champion. Saya sudah menang. I'm always number one. I tak pernah kalah sama competition. Does that mean that I will place first? So for achievement-wise, I tak pernah dapat number satu lagi.
Eventually.
Eventually. I believe this year. Right? Eventually, I will get the first place. Tapi the thing is this, I pun pernah jumpa orang, yang saya tengok dekat atas pentas, dia orang menang nombor satu. Tapi, nampak macam dia kalah. I've seen.
Okay.
The level of their excitement, their level of how they feel. Sebab maybe they have higher goal.
Right.
Mungkin dia orang nak COC. But when they win the first place medals,
right.
For me, when you go there, I feel like, even though when I take fourth place, I nampak macam saya nampak menang nombor satu. So, it's not that kita nak datang dari segi berbelagak yang kita ni better than anyone else. I'm not here to say that I'm better than anyone else. Tapi, part of doing your best, kan? Kalau kita nak buat terbaik, kita kena fikirkan yang kita pun confident. And for me, I cannot go into competition. Macam contohlah, I can finish, saya haraplah saya boleh play C. Saya harap saya boleh menang. I cannot go into a show or anything into my life that I can do. So, fikir tak logik macam ni. Kalau saya buka bisnes, saya harap bisnes saya ni gagal. Saya mungkin boleh berjaya. No, you go there because you know you want to pass. Number two is, kalau you nak mengurat perempuan, okay? You want to this girl to be your girlfriend. Saya harap lah. No, you can live that way in life, but I think so, if you want to be confident, you kena believe. Then second thing, the other part of this, kau kena be able, mature. Kau kena matang untuk menerimanya kalau kenyataan dia tidak apa yang kau fikirkan.
Okay.
So that balance.
Okay, dan menyampur sikit eh. You all akan rasa that Jason ni lain daripada lain disebabkan cara dia berfikir. So I call this very optimistic. Orang tu apa-apa berlaku, dia akan rasa semua benda berlaku dengan ada sebab. And dia tengok benda tu secara positif. That's why I nak cuba relate tadi, macam mana you dapat motivasi tiba-tiba nak pergi jalan 7 kilometer. Because cara dia berfikir lain. Mungkin something had happened to him, I don't know, that trigger dia boleh macam, you know what, I'm just going to do this. Whatever happens, I still going to improve. So daripada cerita bahagian ni kan, I know you faham bahawa in life, cabaran memang akan berlaku regardless, macam dia kata tadi lah, business ke, relationship ke, kesihatan ke, you have to see it in a positive way atau optimistic. Sorry lah, terlajak keluar sikit topik because Jason sangat optimistic. So orang akan dengar macam, eh kau cakap senang je. Kan, dia kata nak competition, kalau kalah, dapat nombor 4, still I'm happy. Like, why do he thinks that way? So because he's optimistic. I pernah berkongsi study dengan one of my guests, Kumar, that tak ada siapa nak masuk competition kalah. Tapi kalau kita dapat nombor 2, nombor 3 pun, we still happy lah. But we nak masuk kalau boleh, nak menang. You correct me if I'm wrong. Jason pun dah buat sedaya upaya untuk menjadi juara. Cuma rezeki dia belum lagi. That's why dia kata eventually, which is this year lah. So I doakan you.
Amen.
Supaya boleh mendapat kejuaraan tersebut. Okay, itu dari segi bina badan. What's the worst thing you have experienced masa bertanding atau preparation untuk bertanding?
Wow, this is a good question. Kena dig the memory bank sikit lah.
Because, fikir dulu, because sebelum ni I pernah tanya guest, ada yang masuk ICU, ada yang sampai, satu ICU, satu lagi overconsumption of diuretic lah. Ada lah kan. So, itu diorang punya worst case scenario. For you, ada tak worst case scenario?
I would say it was last year for my Man of Steel prep. This was in September.
Okay.
Bulan 9. Bulan 9 tu saya competed in Man of Steel, but in August I lost my father. Ayah saya meninggal pada bulan August, 12 August.
Yeah.
They took me by surprise semasa prep. So di masa itu I needed to focus on the competition pada masa yang sama rindu dan rasa sakit hati lah sebab ayah meninggal secara it's very quick. Kita pun keluarga pun tak boleh jangkakan yang dia swap. There's no sign yang meninggal akibat apa heart attack.
Right.
So in that sort of moment, kita kena fikir lah. There's a lot of things going through your mind. Banyak suara. Dan of course, saya ni duduk di rumah and of course my father was there also. So, it's a weird feeling. Mm. Yang tiba-tiba orang tu dah tak ada. The normal routine is not there anymore.
Mm.
Dan then kita kena fikir lah that it just kind of just rocked your world.
Right.
At the same time, kita pun tak boleh berhenti. So, I remember to the day of my father's cremation, di mana saya punya mayat ayah saya ni dibakar, that day itself, malam tu pun saya dah masuk balik training. But why? First thing first, saya ni rasa that my father at that time wouldn't want me to give up. Dia tekan saya nak to berhenti. Tapi pada masa yang sama juga, I also understand how you must take it bila benda macam ni berlaku dalam hidup kamu. You honor the dead by the way you live. So saya nak hormat kepada ayah saya bukan dengan duduk dalam kemurungan, duduk dan saya nak berhentikan semua-semuanya and just give up. I respect my father and honor my father, that's why I continue to prep lah. Walaupun dengan bersakit hatinya. Saya masih jalankan tugas saya sebagai atlet, sebagai seorang ambassador pada AMX dan of course as a son.
Right.
Dan unfortunately, I tak dapat medal di competition tersebut. Tapi, that's why I pray this year lah. By the grace of God, saya dapat bawa pingat emas melawat kubur ayah saya lah.
Faham. Thank you for sharing depan. Depan saya tak tahu. And ada nampak Jason menangis dalam TikTok. Tapi
yes.
I wasn't certain because of what. I nampak you nangis.
Yeah.
Okay. So then my next question. Macam mana you bahagikan your masa with your business and also as a competitive athlete? But sebelum tu, orang pun nak tahu. Actually, how do you sustain your life?
I see. Alright. Okay, dari segi topik kewangan ni, saya ni dia banyak bincangkan, saya dah banyak kongsikan. In fact, saya ni dijemputkan oleh KBS, Kementerian Belia dan Sukan untuk kongsikan topik ini kepada anak-anak muda kita, kepada semua atlet pun pernah ada. Sebab I think so in the sports, dari segi sukan, I rasa banyak atlet, bukan cakap dalam disiplin bina badan saja, tapi di mana-mana sukan pun, yang kebanyakan kali they do not know how to make money.
Agreed.
Alright. So kita boleh nampak gold medalist, bronze medalist, whatever medalist is, whatever sport, kita dengar cerita mereka yang mereka selepas bertahun-tahun bersara daripada sukan mereka tersebut, mereka tidak boleh dapat kewangan and they cannot sustain their lifestyle. They're in trouble and in help.
Betul.
Dan what I hope to, like what Coach Kams goes to reduce 100% obesity in Malaysia, I also hope to be able to help in the other aspect of this, which is untuk tolong kita punya sportsman, kita punya atlet-atlet, bukan terutamanya kepada bina badan saja, untuk menjanakan kewangan. Itulah kenapa saya selalu kongsikan pasal you need to have balance, okay? Kalau kita nak bina sebagai satu individu, tak kira dalam bidang apapun, keseimbangan itu ialah penting. You need to know how to balance. So bodybuilders, kebanyakan kali mereka bagus dalam aspek apa? Saya ada 5 aspek yang saya nak kongsi dengan korang, my thinking lah. 5 aspek yang korang kena develop. Pertama ialah dari segi fizikal kamu. Bodybuilders very healthy, training, eating, diet, everything. Kedua lah dari mental. Most of them also true. Very strong mentality in order to compete.
Okay.
Third one ialah dari segi kewangan. Financial. Usually, this is where they lack. Keempat, dari segi political. Political maksudnya, basic politics, we're not talking about UMNO, we're not talking about Barisan Nasional, DAP here. We're talking about politik ni wujudnya di mana-mana industri dan in mana-mana sektor pun ada. Dan kelima adalah segi spiritual lah. Which is for me the most important. So I'm not going to touch so much into that. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I believe there is a creator. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's all. So I believe that this, kalau kita tak utamakan dalam hidup, kutuan dengan hidup kita, all this is useless. This for me first. But let's talk about the four things first. Okay, tu kita dah tahu dah. Kewangan kita dah cakap dah. So I know bila saya ni masuk dalam bina badan ni, saya dah tahu kos untuk bina badan begitu mahal. I'm sure Coach Kam pun tahu dari segi kita punya pemakanan take up the most cost. Supplementasi itu memang mahal. Dan of course, if you're a bodybuilder that use drugs, PEDs, itu adalah kita another cost juga. Fourth one is of course kita punya medical bills. Bila kita guna PED, kita pun kena pergi apa? Pergi nak buat blood test, kita buatkan echocardiogram. All these things are added into the cost. Kan? So, mereka bila compete, dia lah tak ada buat budgeting. There's no budgeting. There's no cost accounting everything. Tak ada. Dia just langgar aja. And hope for the best. So kita pun dengar horror story. Orang pajak gadaikan emas, pajak gadaikan motor, ada yang ambil loan, tak boleh bayar balik. So many problems. So I'm not looking down these people. Saya tahu I could be one of those people. Sebab kenapa? Sebab kita tak nak give up. Sebab kita nak make it to the stage. Kita nak menang. So that's not desperation. So that's why I must explain all this first sebelum kita masuk pada bab kewangan. So when I know about this problem, so kita dah tahu masalah. Masalah utama ni lah kewangan atau bina badan. Dan sorry to say, bina badan ni, if you just rely on bina badan, you tak boleh buat. You need to be smart. Badan kita ni pelaburan. So badan kita cantik, people see, people akan hormat, dan kita kata, macam mana dapat tubuh badan seperti ini? That is where kita kena tahu macam mana kita nak janakan income. So of course, traditionally kita boleh jadi seorang personal trainer. Kita boleh train orang, kita boleh tuliskan diet plan untuk orang, and you can charge money for this. Online coaching pun satu avenue jugalah sekarang ni, now that you social media. But I think so the lesser known one is TikTok shop, TikTok affiliate. I would say a lot of my income comes from actually TikTok affiliates and also sponsorship, paid review daripada saya punya ruang media sosial. Oleh sebab tu, kenapa saya sangat bergiat aktif dalam social media daripada dulu sampai sekarang, sebab saya tahu kita sudah masuk kepada zaman modernisasi kan. So in the modern world, especially lepas COVID, lepas the C word, kita punya dunia sudah menjadi satu dunia yang rely heavily on technology.
Betul.
So e-commerce merupakan satu benda yang sangat penting. So oleh sebab tu korang akan nampak saya ni macam recently I jual jubah, saya jual kurta. Sebab why? This is upcoming raya.
Yes.
So this is how I leverage my physique untuk jualkan produk-produk. Of course, being sponsored by, bila kita buat content regarding fitness, mesti ada brand seperti AMX, seperti yang ramai-ramai supplements yang lain, brand supplement lain yang nak sponsorkan kamu. And they actually bayar kamu gaji. Dia bayar kamu gaji ataupun dia akan bagi kamu supplement lah, depending on the contract kamu yang kamu ada dengan mereka. So it is always, bila saya masuk competition, saya tak pernah hilang wang. I have never lost money. So selalunya saya akan dapat lebih. Sebab kenapa? Saya dapat sales saya sangat tinggi time tu. Sebab orang ikutkan saya punya journey semasa saya prepare untuk kompetisi. Saya kongsi my condition, why am I thinking, how am I feeling, what supplement I'm using. So that is actually how I actually sustain a living. And thankfully, by the grace of God, sekarang ni dah dapat dua gym dekat Ipoh jugalah. From this, of course, making this as a career.
Faham. Okay. Sebelum kita teruskan regards to the gym kan, apa yang Jason buat ni, dia monetizekan diri dia. Atau monetizekan the viewer dia lah. I nak kongsi sikit my perjalanan. Masa saya bertanding dulu, saya tak macam Jason. Tak fokus on social media, tapi kongsi sikit gambar-gambar. And during my time berkompet dahulu, memang betul, banyak sangat duit saya berbelanja. Makanan, supplement dan juga travelling. Because sometimes, saya dengan, back then my training partner was Kumar lah. We go, kita pergi ke Thailand every 2 months macam tu untuk training. And it cost a lot of money. So dekat situ saya tengah cuba balancekan tau. Okay, sebelum pergi Thailand, I kena kerja gila-gila, kumpul banyak duit for my preparation and my travelling. Lepas tu, bila dah balik Malaysia, kerja balik gila-gila. Tak macam apa yang Jason berfikir lah. Like just now, before we do this recording, Jason beritahu, memang he planned everything. So, which I respect that. Because after focusing on my business and start planning something, lagi mudah kita punya perjalanan. So, at least now you all faham eh. Because saya pun mula fikir macam, Jason sebenarnya buat apa ni ya? Because dalam TikTok, okay, dia gym satu. Second, dia sponsor atlet satu. Lepas tu, barang-barang gym equipment satu. Like, I'm thinking, dia tengah buat apa ni? So, bila Jason cerita, okay, dah faham dah. So, affiliate marketing. Kan? So, faham. Okay, now, let's go into the gym. Macam mana boleh buka dua gym tu?
Alright, so first thing first, kita kena faham what kind of gym you kan. So kalau kita nak cakap buka gym yang besar-besar, macam let's say kat PJ kat sini, kita ada Iron Bull Gym, that's one actually. Iron Bull Gym ataupun gym yang besar seperti Pump Fitness, tak, not on that size. Much, much smaller. Kita ni kita dia private training studio lah, atau private gym, yang khususnya untuk kita punya client saja. So thankfully, saya punya gym tu, dia tak pernah cost tinggi sangat lah. The first gym only cost less than 30,000. Saya dah belikan semua second hand. A lot of it I kena cut the scenery. Saya kena get my friends to help me carry the equipment upstairs myself. A lot of elbow grease ataupun kita peluh yang dicurahkan untuk kat gym ni. And second gym pun saya ni, gym tu dah memang sudah ada. It's all built already, everything ready. Cuma time tu saya dapat untuk ambil alih lah gym ni lah through negotiation. So now I'm the 100% owner of two gyms right now. So that is, of course, thankfully, sebab sekarang ni income saya ni kukuh daripada TikTok lah. TikTok dan of course PT dan of course sponsorship saya. But of course, kita pun rasa macam at the beginning, ambil kemuruh jugalah. But as one thing I shared with Coach Kam before kita buka live ni, kita buka topik ni, ialah sebelum saya nak buka gym tu pun, saya bukannya buka sebenarnya macam tu je. Sebab I feel like I want to open a gym, I open a gym. No. Sebab saya sudah ada customer base yang sedia ada. Let's say I got 10, katakan that time was around 8 to 10 clients, plus minus. Dan sewa yang saya dibayarkan untuk gym yang lain, lebih saya kira-kira, dalam costing macam ni, dalam masa setahun, saya dah boleh buka gym sendiri. Kenapa saya nak bayar kepada gym ni? Saya in fact for cheaper. So I decided, it's okay. Sekarang ni saya ambilkan my savings and I started to collect the equipment. I started to renovate my place sendiri lah. Dan gym tu saya dapat buka dalam masa just after quitting my job. And I think 4 months after I quit my job as a manager, saya dah buka gym tersebut lah. And it already paid off dalam masa 6 bulan, sudah bayar habis. And of course, it plays a role juga. TikTok ni atau media sosial ni penting untuk dapatkan klien juga. So that is why I was very secured. And saya dah ambil risiko, tapi it was calculated risk.
Okay, just nak tambah sikit eh. Apa yang Jason cakap tu, I pernah buat salah. Iaitu, daripada Australia, Alhamdulillah kat Australia tu, masa saya belajar, I kerja juga. So, I have decent amount of money, bawa balik ke Malaysia. I terus buka gym. Tak ada client, tak ada apa. Because I was assuming, Malaysia ni macam Australia tau. Australia was so easy, once you ada title, dapat client senang sangat. So easy. So, I terus buka gym. First 2 months tu tak ada orang. Klik-klik. I was paying rent for nothing. Then from there, I macam, okay, I just need to fix something. Then dari situ barulah dapat grow my gym back then. Bukan kat sini lah, tapi dekat area lama. So apa yang Jason kata ni sangat-sangat penting, sebab I rasa banyak orang nak buka gym sendiri disebabkan diorang rasa, you know what, I think kan, sebab I dah ada title, I buka gym boleh buat duit tau. So based on his advice, and I also giving this honest advice, make sure you have a very fixed client sebelum you buka gym. Then baru you buka gym. Okay. So the next soalan, from here you akan pursue lebih ke mana? Content creating, competitive athlete, because now apa yang you cakap tadi, you nak jadi champ of champ, Mr. Berak. But at the same time juga you buat content creating. So mana yang you betul-betul nak fokus?
Okay, so this is a honestly hard question to answer sebab is together. Sebab bila kita bina badan, kita tak boleh nafikan costing dia lah. That's why I bagi advice kepada, I've been given the grace of God bercakap lah ataupun guide certain young people yang nak masuk bina badan ni. Saya cakap mereka, nasihat saya kepada mereka ni, this, mungkin kau ada genetik, kau ada the ability untuk jadi pro. Lepas kamu dah dapat pro card tu, macam mana kau nak compete dekat luar negara? Sebab if you guys know, a lot of the competition, especially when you talk about bodybuilding, cost a lot. Dan dia di luar negara. Contohlah, kebanyakan, let's say lah, kita talk about you jadi nak, your dream is to become Mr. Olympia. Okay, you nak lawan dengan Sibam ke apa semua. Alright, let's just say that you really have the ability. But the flight ticket is about 30,000 to 40,000. Tak kira lagi visa lagi, tak kira lagi lodging lagi, pembukaan lagi. Then you need to figure out how you're going to bring your PEDs to the other side of the world and all this. So it's so many things yang kalau kamu tidak ada kewangan, susah. So for me, it was pointless to become just a competitor. So if you want to become a competitor, yes, okay, you want to be good, very good. Tapi you need to be able to have the money to support you as well. So it's twofold. So another reason why kenapa saya nak fokus pada local title. Sebab some people straight away dan jadi pro. For another reason also, is also thinking properly as well. You dapat menang, let's say lah, pro card kamu dari dalam IBB. I appreciate, siapa yang tak nak jadi IBB pro? Siapa yang tak nak jadi all this kind of pro show winners? Itu nak. But the truth is this, kalau saya beritahu auntie dekat luar sana yang jual nasi lemak, makcik, saya ni Battle of Titan champion.
Apa tu?
Saya ni IIB Pro.
Apa tu?
Exactly. Tapi kalau saya cakap dengan you, I Mr. Perak, I Mr. Malaysia, it makes more sense in terms of financially. Betul. And marketing wise. Orang kita faham apa tu title.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why also I want. Of course, I'm Perakin, I want to win the title. But monetarily, dari segi kewangan juga, it's actually beneficial to you. So, I want to pursue to get those titles, yes. At the same time pun, saya nak developkan saya punya TikTok. And of course, actually my end goal in my life, actually which is most important lah, I also share the same sentiment dari Coach Kam juga, yang kencing manis, obesity ni merupakan satu benda yang, gejala yang sangat teruk lah di Malaysia ni lah. Majority of our population is horribly sick with this disease yang people don't pay attention to.
Okay.
The problem is kenapa? Sebab kita punya pemakanan, our food, is also our budaya.
Betul.
So when kita nak, it's not like cigarettes, okay, rokok ataupun arak yang kita tahu, oh, it's bad. Dari segi budaya kita tahu, it's not good. Right? But food is, macam mana, you know, rendang, this is part of our, we are proud of our food. So I last time pun, I think so, there was a campaign that I was, hopefully I want to push for in the end, which is Malaysia Fittest in Asia. Sebab at one point, statistically speaking, kita punya negara adalah apa? We are the most obese,
yes.
Number one in diabetes at one point. I don't think so now. We've been overtaken by, I think, Thailand, Philippines, I forgot. But aside from that juga, the other passion of mine is saya nak bukakan satu academy sebenarnya untuk kita punya anak-anak muda kita, especially about, I had a topic with my good friend Coach Arm actually the other day on live, di mana kenapa sukan bina badan ni tak terima sokongan daripada kerajaan as much as other sports. And I straight up telling him it's because of the PEDs. It's not going to be widely accepted. That's why it's not in the Olympics. So kita jangan depend on the government. If they support us, thank God. Thank you. But that's why I hope to be able to develop kita punya sukan yang mungkin kurang diterima atau kurang disokongkan oleh the government. And hopefully kita boleh buka satu academy yang kita bawakan kita punya atlet-atlet lah. Not khususnya kepada bina badan, maybe MA, maybe other sports. like kita dapat develop mereka dan also develop mereka sebagai satu tempat untuk develop future content creators ataupun orang dalam industri to develop the industry as well. Dan of course I nak develop satu fund. So this fund is also to be able to sponsor potential athlete
right.
yang can do very well, just that they don't have the funds untuk pergi luar negara untuk bertanding. That's my end goal lah. These three things to combat obesity and diabetes and to developkan and to develop kita punya academy dengan fund ini lah. That's my long term goal.
Tinggi cita-cita tu. And tak salah, that's why dia kata long term goal.
Long term goal.
Short term goal dia kata nak jadi Mr. Perak. Yes. So boleh nampak lah cita-cita tu kan. Faham? That's a very honorable punya matlamat. Samalah, kita ada matlamat yang sama juga. Okay, speaking of nak tolong anak muda, okay, what's your view regards to PED dengan mereka yang baru berkecimpung dalam sukan bina badan ni atau mungkin nak mula bina badan?
I see. So that's a topic close to my heart sebab saya ramai anak-anak murid kita tu termasuk dalam bina badan ni, especially the part of bina badan yang which is the PED part lah. Kita tak boleh nafikan this part of our sport. Tapi mereka sangat tidak takut dengan penggunaan PED ni sebab mereka kurang pengalaman dan kurang tahu informasi lah. So pertama sekali kepada anak-anak muda kita yang telah ataupun ingin mencubakan steroid atau any sort of PED, korang kena faham. Bina badan ni ialah is a marathon, not a sprint. Kamu kena tahu. Bila kita gunakan steroid ni, ya betul, dia boleh mempercepatkan, dia boleh improvekan kimia fizik. But dia akan datang dengan satu harga, iaitulah kesihatan kamu. Terutama kalau kamu ni bawah 21 tahun, kau kena tahu badan kamu ni belum matang lagi. Dari segi first thing first, below 21 sebagai lelaki, kau punya tulang, growth plate kamu belum fused lagi. Maksudnya kau boleh apa? You're not fully developed yet. So you can actually make yourself shorter, you can also make yourself again lah, you're not growing properly. Kedua adalah dari segi minda kamu. Okay, your brain is not fully developed as a man until you're 25. Alright, so I nasihatkan kamu, for that reason, jangan guna. Okay, if that doesn't scare you, so never mind. Let's say you want to be the best of the best in the world. Alright, lebih baik kau gunakan tu lepas kamu 21 juga. Sebab kenapa? As ataupun even longer lagi baik. Sebab kenapa? First of all, korang kena faham, orang yang masuk yang jadi top of the top, mereka sudah ada genetik. Sebelum mereka gunakan even satu PED, mereka sudah ada bakat. Kau boleh nampak you look like steroid user even before they use steroids. So if you start lifting weight, you start diet sudah proper, then you still don't look like that, then unfortunately you don't have that sort of genes, which is okay. Tidak cakap kau tak boleh pergi jauh, tapi what you can do is kau stay natural dulu. Dan sekarang ni ada banyak natural bodybuilding federation. I believe Coach Kam, you were inside yes. natural bodybuilding league as well. Okay, IMBA, kita ada WMBF kat Malaysia ni. Dulu kita tak ada peluang untuk masuk competition tersebut, so you guys can actually join those kind of competitions first kan. Lepas tu delay as long as possible, baru kau tak boleh develop, baru kau gunakan. Sebab kenapa? So remember, satu cost yang kau kena kira bukan dari segi apa. Kewangan is one thing, kita dah bincangkan. Kedua ialah kaum kesihatan. Tak boleh nafikan, bila kita gunakan PED ni, kita akan apa? Damage kita punya kesihatan. But just like how an MMA fighter masuk ke dalam ring then take the blows, ada yang there's a difference between somebody yang masuk octagon kena tumbuk macam bodoh and there's someone and all to dodge, weave and play. So same thing with PEDs, kamu kena tahu. So you delaying your usage of steroid ni seperti kau ni lawan dengan opponent yang agresif. You tie him out first, baru you go in for the blow. So delay yourself as long as possible, baru kau gunakan ni. And then for those people that always tell me, Sibam boleh guna what? 18 tahun. Unfortunately, kau orang kena faham, Sibam ni, before dia guna PED pun, I dah cakap dah, he's a genetic phenom. He would have been Mr. Olympia whether he take it at 18 or 21. And also remember, dia pun ada penyakit juga. Right? So if you don't believe, go and check it out. Dia ada autoimmune disease. Whether or not PEDs play a role in it, I'm not a doctor, I may not know. But I'll definitely tell you it's not going to be good for him lah.
Right.
So, korang kena faham, you are not Sibam. You are your own self. Don't try to be someone else. Play it safe. At the end of the day, you're an adult. Kalau kamu bukan adult lagi, janganlah guna. But if you're adult, do your research. Tahu lah segala risiko yang kau ambil. Then only make a decision to use or not. But I'm saying if you long term, please. Especially kalau korang nak pergi jauh dalam sukan ni, play it slow.
Okay, anda tambah sikit 100% agree dengan apa Jason kata, especially yang kalau boleh you delaykan benda tu. Tapi ada juga tau orang yang ambil later 25-26 onwards, tapi dia orang abuse. Maknanya dia orang ambil double triple the dosage, assuming boleh lagi cepat. So ada satu cerita ni, suatu ketika dahulu, I think it was 2019, there's this gentleman datang kat my studio. Dia tanya, and he's actually a coach. Then he was a coach. So dia datang, I macam like, I pernah jumpa you dalam social media, and you train orang kan, and what can I do for you? Curious je lah kan. Kata, I desperate, I need you to tolong. Like, dari segi mana? Then dia buka dia punya kopiah. So dia botak. Then I dah faham dah. I kata, what happened bro? Obviously kalau botak tu usually cancel lah kan. Kata, what happened bro? Kata, tak tahu lah bro, I think I guna banyak sangat supplement. I kata, sangat supplement? I pun guna supplement atau I guna steroid and supplement? So bro, bagi tahu apa dia. So dia bagi tahu lah. Dia kata dia pergi kat gym dia, kawan-kawan dia bagi steroid. So I tanya lah, steroid apa? I tak tahu, I ambil je. I'm like, oh my god bro. Like dia ambil because kawan dia bagi je. So the moral of the story adalah, he, kalau tak salah pada ketika itu he was like 26, 27, and dia ambil apa saja kawan dia bagi dengan dosage yang dia tak tahu. Bila dia dah terkena, masa tu dia jumpa saya tu dah stage 3 dah. Dah stage 3, dia datang dengan parents dia, and dia dah memang dalam keadaan yang tenat sangat. Saya consult dia, selepas consult dia 3 minggu kemudian dia sepatut datang for follow up. Bapak dia reply kata, sorry, anak saya dah kembali ke rahmatullah. Pass away. So kita nak blame apa? Kita nak blame izin supplement ke, steroid ke, atau memang time dia lah kan? Tapi the moral kita kena faham kat sini, jangan assume that apa kawan you ambil, you ambil nothing happen. Anything can happen.
Betul.
So anything come in a risk lah. Okay, itu nasihat saya dan juga Jason. And last question. Okay. Kat mana pendengar boleh cari Jason?
Alright, so I am available on Instagram, IG. Kita ada dekat TikTok saya, which is Coach JC now. Dan korang boleh tonton lah. Dan God willing, actually I'm starting up my studio. I had the podcast sebelum ni. Tapi that is a podcast from my previous life. So kalau korang nak tahu, is adalah someone online. And record lah di sini. But I'm actually hoping to start also another another podcast, Malaysia Fitness in Asia.
Nice.
Podcast as well in Ipoh. So I can, once my studio is up, one of the guests in line, of course, is Coach Kab lah. So that is this year's project. So we do not know exactly when yet, tapi hopefully we will be on YouTube as well.
Awesome. Okay, kepada mereka yang nak tahu lebih pasal Coach Jason, check out dia punya TikTok, check out dia punya Instagram, and it's very, very sibuk dalam TikTok lah kan. And selalu ada benda baru dikongsi dengan you all. So, having said that, thank you, Coach Jason.
Most welcome.
Sebab sudi datang, and hopefully to jumpa you again.
All right. All right, for sure.
Take care. See you guys.
Bye, guys.